Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. Right back here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Hey, friends. We have some interesting ideas for you today. Today I want to go back to something. A couple of people were asking me questions and I realized I had never made it clear. Certain particular issues that I believe in and things that I look at when I look at people. Because when I see people, I mean, part of the magic of having had so many years experience doing what I do and the education and the instinct to do what I do, is that I look at people and I can get a sense of them. Well, if you're tuned into people, you can. If you're tuned into people physically, you can get a sense of the way they walk. If you're a dancer and you watch somebody move, you get a sense, are they moving from their shoulders? Are they moving from their wings? Are they moving from their hips? You see it. Dancers have talked to me about the way the different people move, and I'm amazed at how much they know. I guess if you're a dentist and you look at people's smile, you guess what their teeth are like. Or if you're an optometrist, you look at their eyes. Or an ophthalmologist, I guess, huh? Or if you're a lipologist. No, I don't know if there are lipologists. Yes, I'm sure there are nowadays, right? Plastic surgeons. So anyway, the idea today is for you to develop a further skill at understanding yourself and other people by us segmenting the world once again, breaking it into three types. There are only three types of people. I love that. I love when I do that. Of course, none of this is true. This is just a framework. But here's a framework you can use for yourself and you could use for people around you, and it will help you understand. And this is called the instinctual variations. Now, the instincts, these are called the basic instincts, and there's only three that we're going to use. This is not my work. This is work that comes from the Sufis all the way back who knows when, who were some of the great studiers of people. You know, the Sufis wanted to understand how could we get people to worship better. And so they did an in-depth understanding of people that's phenomenal and has evolved into a thing that's called the Enneagram, E-N-N-E-A-G-R-A-M. Fascinating stuff. And a number of scientists have taken this material and studied it. Well, one of the things that they looked at in this is called the instincts, the three basic instincts that people have. And here's the three basic instincts. One instinct is self-preservation instinct. Of course, we have a self-preservation instinct. This is the part of you that is concerned with staying alive, keeping it going. You know, if you didn't have a self-preservation instinct, it would be very hard to survive, because there's something that keeps people going. Mankind, humankind, having evolved over the years, having come out of Africa and swung itself up through Asia and wherever it did in its migration, had to have this self-preservation instinct. Every animal has a self-preservation instinct. How do I stay alive? What do I have to do? What are my tools? So there's one instinct called the self-preservation instinct. There's another instinct which we'll call the social instinct, which is a concern that you have about where you fit in your social group and how you fit and what your social group is about. The third instinct is your mating instinct, which we call the sexual instinct, but it's really your mating instinct. It's the one-to-one mating instinct. And so we're going to look at all three of these. One would imagine that you have about a third of each. You know, you have a third self-preservation, a third social, and a third mating. But we don't. We don't. Each of us tend to be a little weighted more in one direction and less in another. What are you most concerned with, my friends? Are you more concerned with your self-preservation, your social instinct, where you fit in your social group, or in your mating instinct, where you are with relationships? Which is your highest concern? Well, do you think, you know, you think how much higher is one than the other? Somebody once compared it to a three-legged stool. They said, imagine you get a three-legged stool, which is, you know, imagine someone who milks cows, stool. You know the little stools? They're about 2 foot tall. And it has only three legs. Imagine if one leg was shorter than the other two. They would call that's your dominant instinct, the direction that you lean in. So your dominant instinct would be the one that you lean in the most. So the one with your shortest leg on the stool, right, is the one that you lean towards the most. What do you lean towards the most? Do you lean towards more self-preservation? Do you lean more towards social, or do you lean towards more relationship? Personal relationship, one-to-one relationship. As we talk about it, you're going to discover more about yourself, and you're going to think about the people around you, because here's the way it works. If people are related to other people, if you're in a group of people or if you're working with somebody and you're a self-preservation type, which we will describe in detail, and you are related and talking to someone who's a self-preservation type, the two of you can have a conversation that is concerned with safety and physical comfort, you know? Like you could be in a room and you could be in a room, or let's say you're on a subway and you're talking about, oh, you know, this road is really bumpy. Now, if you're a self-preservation type and you're talking to someone about how bumpy the road is, you're really relating to how comfortable is this ride. If that person is a social type or a relationship type, let's say that they're one of the relationship ones, the mating type, they're going to be kind of talking to you as a one-to-one relationship, you know, and they want to join you and they'll say, well, you know, I see it's uncomfortable for you. Yes, it's uncomfortable for me. But the main reason they're talking to you is because they want to have a relationship. If they're a social type, they're kind of thinking about how it is for everybody on the train and where they sit. Should I complain? Should I not complain? I'm going to explain these to you in details. But the very same behavior can be experienced by all three instincts. And according to which instinct dominates in you, that's how you perceive the world. You walk into a room at a party, right? If you are a self-preservation type, the main thing you're going to wonder about is how can I get comfortable? Where am I going to get what I want to drink? How am I going to get my food? Self-preservation. How am I going to get fed? How am I going to be taken care of? If you're a social type, you're going to look around the room and see how you fit in and wonder about how you're dressed and how you fit in with everybody else and who's going to be the person you're going to talk to and what group do you want to be next to. And if you're a relationship type, the main thing you're going to scope is who do I want to talk to? Who do I want to pick me up? Who do I want to be with? Who may I want to be with later? So the same person walking into a room can have, you know, or three different people walking into a room could have three different motives for going to that party. See? So let's go over them in detail. So again, this is Armand DeMille with you, with the positive mind. I'm talking about three types of three variations. One is called the self-preservation. The other is called the social. And the third I'm calling the mating, often called the sexual type. Now, self-preservation type. Got this? Is one or the other. Self-preservation type. This focus here, it's easy to understand from the name. Self-preservation types are concerned with money, food, housing, health, physical safety, and comfort. Being safe and physically comfortable are their highest priority. These people are quick to notice any problems in a room, such as poor lighting or uncomfortable chairs or to be dissatisfied with the room temperature. It's hot in here. It's cold in here. You know? They often have issues connected with food and drink, either overdoing it or having strict dietary requirements. The people you know who get fanatical about their dietary world, you know, the ones who carry a bottle of water with them because they're afraid they may drink, run out of water somewhere, carry a little crunchy bar with them in case they run out of foods that they could have. Self-preservation. I'm going to keep myself going no matter what. Now, this is not necessarily crazy. It can get crazy, as we know. Hypochondriasis is an extreme form of self-preservation. It's a nutty extreme form. You know, it's a real function, it's a real focus. But this type of person, the self-preservationist, they're most practical in the sense of taking care of basic life necessities, paying bills, maintaining the home and the workplace, acquiring useful skills, you know, useful, they've got to be useful, it's not just hobby stuff, and so forth. Now, when they deteriorate at their worst, they tend to distort this self-preservation that they are poor. They can actually become the opposite. They can become poor at taking care of themselves. They often have difficulty handling money and may act out deliberately self-destructive ways. Now, so there you have a self-preservation type is the type who has the perfect Keo plan or the perfect IRA, you know, or the perfect rollover IRA, or has their money invested, or has 2% going to here and 1% there, and they take out their mortgages and everything. A self-preservation type will be perfect at the house mortgage, at saving money. But now on the worst side, on the other side, a poor self-preservation type is still focused with self-preservation, but they can't take care of themselves at all. And this is the kind who is in debt, who runs up credit card debt. It's just the opposite, but it's all about either self-pres or not being able to take care of yourself. So in a nutshell, self-preservation types are focused on personal security and physical comfort. It's about me. It's a meism. How do I get by? How do I survive? People who get sick, it's very interesting. It's people with certain disorders, kidney disorders especially, frequently will go from being one type to being a self-preservation type because it makes sense. Every animal in the world, if it were to get sick and think it was nearing death, would suddenly become more focused on its physical well-being. So somebody could be a perfectly good social type, but then they get an illness and they become a self-preservationist, you know, because all they care about is how am I going to make it to the end? How am I going to get by? How am I going to make sure I don't die? Self-preservation, one of the instincts, just one of three. Ideally, all three are in balance. So now let's talk about the social type. This is Armand DeMille, in case you just tuned in, and you tuned in late. We're talking about three instincts that guide humans. And understanding these three instincts and where you stand with these three instincts will help you both in yourself, in your social group, in your survival, and in your mating. Because it's about those three. The self-preservation is one of the instincts. The social is a second one of the instincts. And the mating is a third instinct. Now, the social instinct, we just talked about the self-preservation. This type is focused on their interactions with people and their sense of value or esteem they derive from their participation in collective activities. Collective activities. They include work and the work group, family and the family group, hobbies in the form of what group you belong to with your hobbies, clubs, basically any arena in which a social type can interact with others for some shared purpose. A good example of this would be in the wine community, for example. There are people who are very, very private, and they love to study things, and they have no social life, but they study wines, or they study something, and they get together at conventions or at auctions with other people who study wines. And then there they are, these studiers, who would only be concerned with one little thing, but they have, wine becomes a communal meeting ground, or growing flowers becomes a communal meeting ground. The instinct underlying this behavior was an important one for human survival. You know, think about humans. Humans were scrawny little things coming out of the jungle. You know, you're kind of running along the Serengeti, and a human doesn't have much defense against some of those bigger guys out there. You know, like if you're getting attacked by a Rhapsodon, you don't have much going for you. What's a Rhapsodon? It's a dinosaur that plays music. A Rhapsodon. Okay, so let's say you're a human and you got to get by. And how are you going to trap the Rhapsodon? How are you going to defend yourself? How are you going to eat the Rhapsodon? You tell the other humans, look, I'll go over there and you go over there and you go over there and we'll trap the Rhapsodon. See, social. So together, as a social group, humans who by themselves were kind of weak, as a group, a social group, survived and evolved like ants did. You know, I mean, one ant. You know, how's your aunt? Oh, fine. How's your uncle? Your aunt is not enough. You have to have a bunch of ants. And by having a big social collective of ants, the ants survive. Cockroaches, too. A lot of people got by, you know. So if you are a social type, the social behavior of humans got humankind to evolve. Without it, we wouldn't have made it. However, you could spend your entire life wondering where you fit in your social group. So you could have the desire for getting attention, right, is a social desire. Who do you want attention from? You want attention from the group. You want to be noticed. You want to be accepted. You want to be applauded. A recognition, honor, success, fame, leadership, appreciation, and the safety of belonging can all be seen as manifestations of the social instinct. I'll say them again. The desire for attention, you know, the need to have people pay attention to you. Why do you think she's wearing those clothes and walking down the street? She wants people to pay attention. She's not just wearing it for herself. Why do you think he's dressed that way? You know, I was at an airport the other day, and I'm passing where everybody is kind of bedraggled. It was like there were people there who were there 2 days trying to get on an airplane, and their outfits were horrendous. And this man comes by with a pinstripe suit, perfectly tailored, perfectly dressed, kept himself, and it was just admirable. I mean, you looked at him, and he said, "How the hell did he ever keep himself together like that?" Right, but his desire was to stand out and to be admired and to be seen. He wanted to represent himself as above the social group. And he got the reward for it, because as soon as a ticket became available, somebody yelled out, "Sir," to him, because he looked like a sir. You know, because he was wearing a sir suit. Social types like to know what's going on around them. And they want to make some kind of contribution to the human enterprise. There's often an interest in the events and activities of your own culture, sometimes another culture. They enjoy interacting with people. But now here's the thing about social types. Social types are so concerned with being part of a group that they often avoid intimacy. You see, they kind of, I want to be part of the group, but I don't want to be one-to-one. They're not as good as one-to-one. They're not so good on one-to-one, but they are very good within a group. So intimacy sometimes becomes a problem. In the unhealthiest forms, this type can become very antisocial. So even though you're very social, you're concerned about how you fit, you can become antisocial by forcing yourself to reject everybody in society. You reject everyone. You're still part of the group, but you're the antagonistic part of the group. An antisocial person is usually a social type of person. The only way they get through is by being antisocial. Unhealthy forms could be people who resent their society because they need the society and they want to be accepted and they can't be accepted, so they resent it. Why are you objecting to groups? that exist. You sometimes see a group of people all hanging out with each other, putting their arms around each other, and you see them hanging out, and it's like a beautiful thing, and you resent it. You resent it. Why? Because you can't be a part of that group. And they could have poorly developed social skills. You know, in other words, they don't know how to get along with people. They don't know how to talk to people. I know a woman who everybody likes. I was talking to her earlier today. Everybody likes her at her job. She has a job station. She's in advertising. And everybody stops by her desk to say hello and bring her gifts. Yes, they bring her little things because everybody wants to say hello. And she's the most incredible social person. She just has a way of making everybody feel good. You know, she knows how to listen. She listens in a certain kind of way. She's non-judgmental. She's got all of those social skills. She gets at least 30 emails a day inviting her to go places, right? She feels overwhelmed because she has to parcel out her time. She has to portion out her time. She gives a little bit to each person. But she has got these social skills that are phenomenal. You know, phenomenal as far as, you know, everybody likes her because she has that way about her. Not so good at intimacy. Not so good at one-to-one relationships, which brings us to the mating game, the social game. This is Armand DeMille. In case you just tuned in, we're talking about three instincts that people live by. The self-preservation instinct, the thing that makes you want to stay alive in one form or another. The social instinct, where do I belong in the community? And now the mating instinct. Sometimes this is called a sexual instinct too, because, you know, but people mistake this one because they say, oh, if I ask you, what type are you, the self-preservation, the social, or the mating? If you feel horny, you're going to say, I'm a mating type. You know, but no, it's not about that. It's not just desire for sex. It's called sexual instinctive because you're looking for the intimate, the biggest one-to-one relationship. And the most intimate one-to-one relationship very often happens in a sexual content. So they're called sexual types or mating types. It's a one-to-one relationship versus the social who likes the larger group, one-to-larger group relationship. But you'll find out, you know, if you take a close look at it, the mating types are intimacy junkies. They're neglecting pressing obligations or even basic maintenance if they're swept up on someone or something that's captivated them. Now, just imagine if you're high mating and low self-preservation. Where do you wind up? High mating, low self-preservation. You wind up doing anything for love. And you don't take care of yourself and you don't pay your bills. And you don't take care of yourself and you don't take care of anybody else. And all you care about is love. You sell your soul for love. Now everybody's raising their hand. That's me, that's me, that's me. Well, everybody's got a part of this. But for some people, the mating type is the highest. And I'm going to be taking your calls a little later and asking you about yourself. So they are intense. They're focused on having intense, intimate interactions and experiences with others and to give them a powerful sense of aliveness. They feel alive in a relationship and they kind of are walking through life without a relationship. They're always on the prowl for a relationship, too. These are the kind who say, if he looks at me, you know, I want to look at, I want to be seen, and I want to be recognized, but I want to get that intimate look. So the sexual types are the types of people who have a lot of the biggest problems. Because, you know, if you're a junkie, if you're a relationship junkie, an intimacy junkie, and pardon me, I don't mean that in a judgmental way, but I mean if you're hooked on love or what we call love, it means I got to find somebody to be close to or it's not worth living. You know, I mean, a lot of people have written songs about all it is, life is all about love, only of love. If only, you know, if you have love, then you don't need anything else. You don't need bread if you have love. You don't need loaves and fishes if you have love. You know, love. is kind of that word that's used by intimacy junkies as being the rationale for why we live. But that's for the intimacy types. For the self-preservation type, they may say, no, a good house. You know, give me a good house. Give me a good car. Give me a good income. And that's why I'm living. You know, and that's what I'm about. And that's how I keep it going. You know, and once I keep my security going, once I have my house and my health, and so the self-preservation type first focus is being healthy, being together, keeping their money going, getting the right investment, getting the right house. Second focus may be either social or mating. And now if I get the right wife, self-preservationists can very often pick a wife as part of self-preservation, you know. I want to get a mate because I want to have children because that's part of my design. Or they might pick a mate because they want to be part of a social group. Social groups very often will mate up, find a mate just because. You can see how the three interact. The self-preservation, the social, and the mate all interact with each other. Now, which is your biggest, which is the one that you're the most at? Are you mostly a self-preservation type? Are you mostly a social type, or are you mostly a mating type? Which one is the most to you? And here's the big secret, my friends. Which one is your weakest area? Now, catch this. This is really interesting and intriguing. Because if you have more than one-third, let's say each one gets 33 and a third, right? One-third is third self-pres, a third social, a third mating. Let's say you have more than a third in self-preservation. Let's say you're a 50% self-preservation. Well, then you're missing in either the social or the mating. Now, the people who are the highest in the self-preservation, taking care of themselves, may have, you're going to find that their Achilles heel is in the one where they are the lowest. So, for example, if you're a mating type and your most concern is to be mating, and that's your highest concern, and your second most concern is self-preservation, and your least concern is social, the place where you get into the most trouble in this world is going to be on your shortest area, in the area where you are the least. So people who are mating people always run into trouble socially. Because, you know, and it's, you could just picture it, you know, there she is with her boyfriend and that's all she cares about. She doesn't care about anybody else and she doesn't care about us. She just cares about her and her boyfriend. She doesn't care about the social group because she's overdeveloped in the mating. Or there she is in the mating, but she doesn't have any money and she doesn't have any place to, any way to pay her rent because she's very low in the self-preservation. You get it? So your low area is very important. And when I take your calls a little later, I'm going to want to hear your highest and your lowest. What is the most you? Self-preservation, social, or mating? And what is the lowest you? The one where you have the lowest instinct. And we'll look at it together. It'll be just very interesting. Because eventually what happens is it gets to be a balance. But, you know, most people don't start off with a balance. Most people are starting off with a great struggle between the three. You know, it's one or the other or the other. Especially if you have a lousy childhood. You know, if you have a childhood where you grow up and you can't get your next meal, you may wind up being a self-preservation type. You know, because there was no safety at home and you never felt safe. So you spend your whole life trying to feel safe. Do you ever see the people who are just measuring every calorie and every gram of every bit of food? They never really felt safe as kids. So safety was a big issue. If you felt safe as a kid, you know, maybe one of the other ones become your biggest. If mating is your whole life, you never felt loved as a kid. If social is your whole life, then you never felt like you belonged to anything. So that's what we're looking at today. Your needs, your instinct, your desires. We're going to take a short break. When we come back from our break, a little music from Harry Stitz Edison, special for you, and then we'll continue. Oh, Maybe we will. As Harry Edison and his band, Sweets Edison, just a bit of the blues, we'll try to continue at the end of this for Michael G. Haskins on a Tuesday. And my deep gratitude for Michael every Tuesday when he shows up, I gotta play something for him. Because he is the one who helps us keep this going. We are talk about self-preservation, people. Michael's one of those. Self-pres type. He really takes care of himself really well. Self-preservation types. We're talking about three types of people. Self-pres, social, and mating. Now, this is a kind of interesting thing. If you think about jazz musicians, I grew up in a jazz world. Almost everybody was a social type. Now, social, because if you're a jazz musician and you're in a band, where do you fit? You don't play a band by yourself. You're not going to be a trumpet player by yourself. You got to have a band with you, and you belong to a group. And almost every musician I ever knew was lousy at taking care of himself or herself. So their self-preservation instinct was very low, but their social instinct manifested in the music. And their mating instinct was there, but never real intimacy. They were all dysfunctional relationships, you know, because it was within the music. Now, that's a broad generalization, and just I've watched as many, many musicians and show people. Because, I mean, show people is the very word. What are you doing? You're looking for applause, you know. You want people to say how great you are. American Idol. What do you think we see when you watch American Idol, the program on TV? You know, what are people trying to be? The best. They want to be recognized by the social group. They are not mating types. Do you think that this is going to be a mating type of person, that one of those people up there who you see on the program who are going to be the best performer, the best singer? Why do you think they're singing? Because they want recognition and applause. They are primarily social types. See? If they're self-preservation types, they're not going to try singing. They're going to wind up studying accounting or something. They're going to wind up doing their studies and saving their monies and earning money. If they're mating types, it's very hard to be a mating type and to be a great musician. It's very hard because the relationship is going to suffer. What type are you, my friends? Are you a self-preservation type, a social type, or a mating type? And what part suffers? We're going to start taking your calls here on WBAI, 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. We want to hear from you. I want to hear from you about your three types. Please, if you just tuned in, try to get some grasp of what we're talking about. Before you get on and say, what were we talking about? We're talking about the three instincts, and we're talking about which one you are. When you get on the air with me, make sure that your radio is lowered the whole way, 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take a call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hello there.
Hi. My name is Sue, and I love the Enneagram. I don't know a lot, but you really clarified some of it for me. I just realized I'm a social type. I never felt like I belonged. I was told many times that I was an accident, that I was disowned. I always felt like the ugly duckling, I guess, although not physically, but just that I didn't belong. And my question still, I'm looking at the other two. In terms of self-pres, which I thought that I was, which now I don't think so, I care a lot about health and well-being. And I do massage therapy, and I'm very into supplements and eating well and learning a lot about that, spend a lot of time on that. But providing in other ways in terms of, possessions, and which I really would love and I appreciate when I have them, I haven't sought them out. I haven't worked on a consistent basis in any particular field in order to get that going.
So you've got, now one of the things I'll say, Sue, is that I automatically hear from you somebody who spent a lot of time working on herself emotionally.
True.
You know, now when you get to a certain level of development, you're not as imbalanced, not imbalanced, but I am balanced, as most people are who haven't worked as diligently on themselves. So you've got all three parts working. So let me ask you about the obvious one. How's your love life?
Terrible.
Yeah, of course.
Although I so long to be connected in an intimate way, what I used to do was just, I had a lot of casual relationships, and it was more of a fun kind of a thing, and I never let it go too far, let it go too long, because I don't know exactly why. I just felt that I needed to get rid of relationships. I'm getting better at it, but not really in a, an intimate type of relationship.
So here's the way we see it. You see, socially, as a masseuse, is it okay to say masseuse now?
Oh, yes.
Is that
That's
too?
Exactly perfect, yeah.
Because it's female, masseuse by itself.
Right. Masseur is like sir. That's the male.
Yeah, I know. But, when you think of actor and actress, you say actor for male and female.
Right.
So do we say masseur for actor, man and woman, masseuse? Or?
Masseuse usually is female.
I know. I understand the distinction. I'm just trying to make sure I'm not being socially incorrect, because then my social group will dislike me. And they'll say, hey, stupid. All right, let me go back to this a minute. Sue. Socially, we know this is very important. You like applause. You like to be recognized. You like to be thanked. You like contact. We know you're a kid who grew up with an absence of belonging to something. The family told you you don't belong. We never wanted you in the first place. What a mess that was. So your self-preservation type part of you would have emerged, and it did emerge because you're very concerned about health and well-being. But you're part of that natural food community. You see, this is more the community part. The other part of your self-pres that you haven't taken care of, you haven't taken care of your finances. You haven't taken care of your financial well-being very well. And on the short end of the thing is your mating skill. You just don't have it. You may long for it, but you don't have it. You don't have that which makes your mating skill efficient, because there's too much of you that is still the kid who doesn't belong to a family.
So also I had an insight this morning that I wrote down. I wrote that my role is, or has been, the savior / self-sacrificing, and I said saint of the angry and drowning.
Saint of the angry and drowning.
Right, S-A-D. Saint of the angry and drowning.
Hmm.
And perhaps I am not good with intimacy, because I recognize that is unhealthy, and I only want healthy intimacy now. I've done it the other way. It's not good. I don't want to suffer that any longer.
You seem to be on a real task of self acknowledgement. You know what I mean? It just seems like you're really doing your stuff, Sue. I wish everybody out there could take themselves as seriously as you do and as lightly as you do, because you're willing to say, okay, I love to be loved and I'd love to have somebody share in my bed with me, but I've paid enough dues for that. It doesn't work.
It hasn't
for me.
Worked.
Not that way. Yeah, right. Not by toying around. So let me become settled in the rest of my life. and then maybe it will come by for me, but I'm not going to be searching for it as desperately as I have in the past.
That's true, but I would like to know how to make that shift, that transition, because I'm 55 years old, and I want it now. I want it so much, whereas I didn't care that much before. I wasn't so open to it. So how do I do that?
I don't know.
No.
I don't know. I don't. Tricky, isn't it?
Yeah.
How could he say I don't know? Because I don't know just as you don't know, and the only way it ever really happens, and I know the only way it ever really happens, at the level that you want it to happen, is when you're not looking for it. It doesn't happen when you're looking. When you have desperate eyes, it just doesn't happen.
I know that.
And you know that, and I know that, so I don't know how long you're going to wait. I don't know how it's going to happen. But you're a person who is obviously physically, emotionally, spiritually beautiful. And if somebody is worthy enough for your talents, you'll find them. Mm. Or they'll find you.
But how do I trust? How do I know who to trust? You know, people are many things. And I want to always give a chance to somebody, and yet I want to be wise about giving second and third chances. I don't want to say, okay, you have two chances, and if you mess up as a human, you're off the list. And how do I know? Because I never developed that. I meet strangers, and I immediately open up to them, and I'm receptive, and that's easy. But when in a relationship,
one of the things that people who have an intention on not having a relationship frequently do. So I'm going to go here with you for a minute about this feeling like you really hunger for a relationship.
Yeah.
So let's imagine that there was a part of you, inside of you, that was saying, hey, here I am. You want to meet me? Meet me. I'm right here. And there's a little child inside you who's banging on the inside of your chest, dying to meet you, and says, would you please stop looking outside? Please look at me. And there's a part of you that you're not looking at yet, that you have not yet embraced, because there's a part of you that you don't have that relationship with yet. Mm-hmm. And it is going to defy. It's going to defeat you. It's going to make you trust the untrustworthy and distrust the trustworthy. It's going to do it until you settle down with yourself and you're on the road. Just don't get too hungry.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get too desperate. You're on the road.
But what's that conflict? I didn't grasp the kernel.
You don't have the love of yourself yet.
Oh.
You don't have it. You know, you don't have it. Now, some people can get by without loving themselves. They could just love somebody else and somebody else could love them. But not you, Sue. You're doomed. You've got – you only want quality.
That's right.
And you're stuck with a quality relationship.
Oh, but when it happens, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Send me an invitation.
Okay.
Okay, nice to meet you, Sue.
Thank you. You too, Armand.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
212-209-2900. Sweet Sue. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Armand.
Yes.
Yeah, Brother Malik from Yonkers, man.
Oh, how are you? Nice to hear
your
voice.
Listen, let me tell you something, man. I've always listened to you. I'm what they call a long time, first time.
Sure.
Okay. I listened to you from the beginning, right? I'm a musician. I'm a songwriter. I'm a producer. Now, you were saying, hello?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah, you were saying something about people who sing. You mentioned American Idol. They're different types of people. They don't really want to find love or something. How did you explain that?
Yes. You want me to explain it further?
Well, no, let me say this. As far as I'm concerned, it could have been you very far from the truth for me with that.
Because
okay, I am a romantic, and I have no problems being social because I am a musician, and what I have to do is to, how would you say, intervene with people, you know, and that's what I do. I can't see me being alone and not being a social creature, being that I'm a musician and I'm sharing music, you know, with folks.
Yes, that's the social part, sure. Now, how's your primary relationship?
My primary relationship is great.
And who is it with?
I have a new girlfriend.
Okay, so there was an old girlfriend. And how old is this new girlfriend?
She's like 5 months now.
Okay, and when she gets older, no, she's 5 months you've had the relationship.
Yeah, but the other, my, let me
okay, now wait, let me stick with you a minute.
Yes, yes.
You see, so there you are saying, yes, I search for love,
mm-hmm.
and my long relationship is a 5 month relationship.
Mm-hmm.
It's in relationships that this thing happens very often, as I do for many musicians. They're short relationships. They're relationships that
prior
don't have
that
the power.
Was 20 years, Armin.
Yeah, and that 20 years, what was the quality of that relationship?
It was excellent.
Well, how come it
ended? Part is people.
No.
You know, we had, she had, you know, different aspirations than I had, and, you know, we could understand that, but we just couldn't cohabitate and live together that way.
Okay, well, you know, and there are exceptions to everything.
We are not, you know, we still are friendly. We still go out as a group of people, you know, without grandkids and our children. But we just knew that we couldn't live together like
that.
The new girlfriend, and I'm fortunate to say, gives me, and she has all of the qualities of the old girlfriend, of my old, you know, wife, but because things are new, of course, you know, you're still on your honeymoon period. But the point that I was bringing out is what you were saying in terms of musicians. See, that's where you, for lack of another word, you struck a chord there, you know, and I'm listening, and I was cleaning some chicken, and I said, well, no, that's not, you know, the way I see it.
It may not be true for you. What about for your musician friends?
There you go. That, well, see, that's what everybody else, you're right. You know, they've had, you know, different type of relationships. One other friend of mine, a drummer friend, he's been very, very stable in a relationship.
Sure. So, but you can see it's kind of a rarity. You know, most people are in, it's mostly about the social type, and it's a rarity to see positive relationships. But, you know, in life it's a rarity to find real positive relationships. Mm-hmm. Most meeting is kind of...
Well, see, I'm a very conscious person, too. That's the other
I could
part.
Hear that.
And also very spiritual.
Thank you for calling in.
Hey, Armin, thank you so much. And keep up the work, the Fortune Society, and everything that you do. I listen to you all the time, and I love BAI.
Thank you.
Thank you.
212-209-2900. This is Armin DeMille. In case you just tuned in, we're talking about three types of instincts. One is called the self-preservation, where you're taking care of yourself. The second is the social, where you're concerned about how you fit in the world. And the third is the mating. And which type are you, and which is your weakest type? 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hello, Armand.
Yes.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm definitely a social type. My weakness is definitely in the self-preservation thing, for sure.
Yeah, for sure, right? In the self-pres...
Sure.
Because you haven't been able to pull that part of you together.
I mean, I work, I pay, you know, I'm always late bills and everything, I cover everything, but, you know, I'm much more concerned with, you know, relationship and you know, I'm a musician as well, so I try to get, you know, a lot of people together, try to write music, I'm trying to make something happen with it, but I just am not covering my day-to-day, you know, expense, all that type of thing. I got to find a way to balance myself.
Yes, and it becomes a question, you know. I mean, the answer to how you do it becomes a real question because if and you have the answer to this, which is saying to yourself, I have to find a way to balance myself. I must find the balance. Means not I've got to find how to find the balance, but just balance becomes a key word in your mind. And if that's the key word in your mind, then when the opportunity comes along where there's a job where you could earn a few dollars and you could pay a few bills, or something comes along that's a more social, partying, collective kind of thing that doesn't earn you money, and you're on the odds, you say, I need to have balance. You see, and that very consciousness helps you lean back in the direction of balancing the three parts. You know? So thank you as an... Another fellow musician, you know, thank you.
Right.
It's a tough thing. What do you play? What's your music?
I play keys and djembe, actually.
Oh, fabulous.
Yeah, so I love your music.
Hey, how about sending me some of your music?
What's that?
How about sending me your music?
I would love to.
Will you please send it to my attention and remind me? What's your name?
That'd be great. Yassine.
Yassine, great. I'm looking forward to getting some good djembe music.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Oh, thank you. And keep up the good stories about the jazz stuff in the East Village, man. That's school right there. That's college.
That was kind of amazing, wasn't it? With Sonny.
Yeah.
You know, we had the two Sonnies on the air, and it's just Sonny Fortune and Sonny Rollins.
Yes.
were guests on the air and both talked about the old days. Anybody who wants to hear that can go to the website, thepositivemind.com, and listen to those two interviews. If you care at all about jazz and the jazz world, there's some essential information there.
Cool.
We'll be doing more of that. Thanks a lot for calling
in. All right, I'm on. Peace.
Sure. Oh, what excitement this is. 212-209-2900. Time for one more call. We're going to take it. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hello there.
Hello. This is Samuel. I tuned in late to your program, and you were talking about the self-preservation and the mating and all the other one, please.
Yes, the other one, the social type. Self-preservation, social, and mating, yes.
Oh, okay. And please, can you elaborate a little bit on the self-preservation and the mating? What's the difference between the mating and the self-preservation?
Well, I tell you, I don't have the time to do that now because we're just at the end of our program. But, you know, you can look up self-preservation type on the Internet and you'll get some information on it.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
And the mating, can you just tell me a little bit about it? Because I think I heard a little bit of it, but I'm not sure. And I don't know if that describes me.
Well, it probably does, but I don't have the time right now to give the lesson on it again. But, you know, you can get back and listen to this program just by tomorrow. Just go to thepositivemind.com and listen to the archive, and you'll hear all about it. Thank you for calling in. We are out of time, unfortunately, my friends. This is Armand DeMille. Hey, you know, I would love to just stay with you all day, but we have other wonderful programs coming by. And I will be back with you tomorrow at 1 p.m., my friends, with more of this hot stuff. If you want to get a copy of today's program, go to thepositivemind.com and see how that's available. Bye-bye for now.
This is Heidi Bogosian from Law and Disorder. I hope you'll come to a panel this Wednesday at Brooklyn Law School at 6 p.m.